Good to be with you here tonight. Could we pray together as we start this few minutes? Pray with me and say, Heavenly Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. I believe and declare that you are the potter. I am the clay. You have the right. I give you the right to do whatever you want with me. Furthermore, Lord, there are gifts and callings you have put on my life. I dedicate them to you. Furthermore, Father, as you are my Father, say it with me, please. You have a right to correct me. You have a right to direct me. In Jesus' name, help me to get something out of these next few minutes. And everyone said, amen. Well, praise God. God is wonderful. We've got some great stuff. We didn't get any stuff last week because of the inclement weather. Thought is that there's gifts in your life, irrevocable gifts in your life that God has put in your life, and there's direction in your life. The word says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means that when you're born, while you were in your mother's womb, and before the beginning of the world, there are gifts and callings in your life that cannot be taken away, but they can be thwarted. They can be smothered. They can be hindered. How does the Lord do that? How does the devil do that? Because it's the devil. Is he makes you, first of all, he'll get you bruised up somehow. He'll get you broken and bruised up. You'll be let down. You'll be stood up. You'll be lied to. And many vicious things that people do to people. And I want you to know that doesn't have anything to do with the truth. And the truth is this, you still have gifts and callings. You're still important. You're still blessed. God is reaching out in this final hour to those who are broken, to those who have been lied to those who have been used, to those who have been physically, spiritually, mentally, sexually, in any way abused. God's going to deliver you if you'll let him. God loves you. The things that the church doesn't want to talk about, we are talking about here. You know why? We're keeping it real here. Does anybody want to just keep it real? Amen. And the truth is, that's what kind of people are in this whole world. And many of them have been so discouraged, they haven't heard anything for them in the house of God. So they go somewhere else. I'm preaching a small word this evening. Use the gifts and talents that God gave you. Look for an opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity before we stop tonight. We'll just be here for a few more minutes, believe it or not. The older you get, the faster you get. I'm going to give it to you your way, and I'm going to slam it down your throat so quick. We'll be leaving here. We'll be getting all the goodies we want there. We'll have them loaded up and be headed home at 8 o'clock or 5 after 8. I mean, I'll be through preaching. Me and Dwayne, every Wednesday, we have the best fellowship. I am so proud of Dwayne. Because he's perfect? No, but because he loves God. He's trying, I want you to know something. I don't care what you've heard. I don't care how you've been abused or what mistakes that you made. God loves you. God, you know, when he chose you, he knew what you were. He knew how you were. He knew how to minister to you. Nobody knows how to love you like God knows how to love you. And I'm telling you that there's gifts in your life, and I'm telling you, he wants to use you. And you know what? There's nothing better than taking the gifts in your life and blessing somebody else with them. In the book of Exodus chapter 4, I'm going to look at verses 1 and 2. And if it gets... Okay. Here's Moses. Most of you know who Moses is. And please put that up in the King James language. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said the NLT. Okay. But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? It wasn't long ago, all of us, ministers, we get broken. We get battered. The Lord told me the last time my wife preached, stand up, sweetheart, please, and come up here with me. And just pray right now for this service. Pray, because there's lives here that can be changed.
Amen. Father, I just thank you for each person here, Father. Father, that you bless them, Father. Cover them with your protection. I thank you for each one, Father. Help them to hear with their spiritual ears. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let me share something with you. The last time Millie preached, the Lord gave me a word. And he said, give this word. And preachers have trouble too. Preachers get hurt too. Preachers get discouraged too. I said, well, Lord, what if nobody responds to that word? And he said, that's never bothered you before, Angela. What if they don't? I'm telling you to share that word. And because many times what people have done in the last, I've been a minister since I was 25 years old. I was a minister and a youth minister in Modesto, California. We outgrew every room that we had. God blessed. But I said, what if nobody responds, Lord? And many times people have met me at the back door here since 19. We started Paris Christian Center in 1987. We were in this building from about 1990, 1991. And many times I've given words. And as the people were going out, they said, that was for me. That was for me. I understand that sometimes it's uncomfortable and fearful. But I want you to take this word very personally tonight because I'm speaking to you. If you can hear and understand me, I'm speaking to you. And Moses was being called by God, and he said, what if they won't believe me? What if they won't listen to me? What if they won't respond? Well, you know, all these years that I've been in the ministry, sometimes they have, and sometimes they haven't responded. But I've never stopped digging into the Word and believing the word. But Millie, at the end of her message, she said, husband, do you have anything you want to say? Do you have a word? And I said, yes, I do. And I just said, anybody that wants a fresh start, stand up. And almost the whole church stood up. And I'm humbled by that, but I've learned to live my way. I am not led by the censure or praise of men. I can't afford that luxury. I am led by the approval and the praise of God. I look every day for this. I was created, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 4, to bring pleasure to God. And my prayer and my goal is that every night the Lord would say to me, this is my beloved son, Angelo, in whom I am well pleased. And may I say, there's many times I haven't been well-pleasing to him, but he has never left me. For there is a promise, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm your forgiver, and I want to tell you tonight, God is your forgiver. Jesus, through Jesus, our high priest, the Bible says he lives continually forever and ever to be your priest, to be your intercessor. And he loves you with an unfailing love. His father that he gave his only begotten son. His son that responded to the call. And the Holy Spirit that we all have now if we want it. And basically in Exodus and with Moses, Moses was saying, what if they won't listen to me? You're asking me. Moses was in his 80s at the time. He had been on the backside of the desert. He had been a keeper of sheep. He had a wife. He had a father-in-law. He just had a normal life. And he was exiled out of Egypt. And he came back. And God will help us where we understand. And one of the things I'm going to ask you tonight is this, and I want you to just tell me. How many of you believe me that the Word says everybody has gifts and talents? Do you believe that? I don't care if you're saved, lost, whatever. Do you believe that? I want to, rather than read a few verses, I want to touch some lives. I want to let God touch through me. Let me say to you this. If you're a little uncertain about your gifts and talents, but you want God to help you, I believe he'll help you if you ask him. Right now, if anybody wants to be more sure of their gifts and talents, please stand up, and we're going to pray. We might not do anything else. If you want to, I'm talking about your life. This is about you. The church is not a building with chairs. The church is a body, a living organism. The Word says, now God himself has placed each member in the body as it pleases him. God loves you. God cares about you. I don't care what kind of mistakes you made. I've made them all. I've made them worse. Let me tell you, God, the strength of God. But one thing I believe for my youth is me and this wife that God gave me, we're staying together. We're working on year 48 together. And I'm here to tell you, if you hook up with God, he'll have somebody that will never leave you. Millie, would you turn around just for a moment, sweetheart? And I wonder if, Carson Paul? Where's he at? Come here, Carson Paul. Would you get that microphone that's not up there anymore? Yeah, here's one right here. And Millie, look at here. This is our family.
Amen.
My family starts with my wife. That's biblical. To treat her right, that's biblical. There's been times that I haven't. I'm guilty of that. I had to work through that, okay? And then it goes to my children. Then it goes to my grandchildren. Then it goes to people that are of like faith. If you desire, you're part of my family, and I'm part of yours. And, sweetheart, I wish that you would pray.
Amen.
And pray for these folks. We're praying for their gifts to come forth in their
Amen.
Own life and their Amen. Direction, their callings.
Amen.
Please pray.
Father, I just thank you for each person here, Father, and the gifts and callings that you've put on their lives, Father, to build the body of Christ, Father. Father, to help the body of Christ and to minister to the body of Christ, Father. Help them to walk in the fullness of those gifts, Father. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and hold on to that, sweetie. And I want to say to you that God will not leave you hungry, hurting. For as many of you who may be at this time just believing for somebody to share your wife, your life with, I'm telling you that God has somebody, somebody that will not leave you. I'm telling you that he does. I'm not asking anybody to stand up for this here, because it's too intimate. I didn't come here to embarrass anybody, but to bring forth and call sinners to repentance and let you know that you're okay. Each and one of you, you're okay. But if you're waiting for somebody to share your life with, I just say, God, help me. Don't be afraid to pray about that. Don't be afraid to say, God, I want to share my life with somebody. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. God has somebody for you. I just want to tell you, Satan has a lot of somebodies for you that will continue to use you at tax time. Man, I hate to be so blunt, but can I just keep it real? Some of these Yahoo fellas, man, they know when tax time is. They know some of you already got your tax return. For God's sake, why would you give it to somebody that'll be gone in March or April? I mean, really, think about that with me. God has somebody for you that will love you, and you can argue and fight with them until one of you dies. What's better than that? I want to tell you, I'm letting Millie win a few more of these battles. And it's fun. I love her more today than when I married her many, many years ago. And I see her worth. She is a Proverbs 31 woman. She is a 1 Peter chapter 3 woman. She will be glad to pour her life into anything we can do for you. That's the hardest working pastor I've ever met in my life. She is the head pastor of this church. And amen. She has cried with more people in this first 3 years. And if this is your home, she will cry with you. We will pray with you. We will help you to get through. You know what's important? I have a few verses written down. That's not near as important as that the Holy Spirit would speak to you tonight. God wants to encourage you. But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me? What if they won't listen to me? He was sent back to Egypt to lead the people out of Egypt, which is a type of bondage. Egypt is bondage whenever you read it in the Bible. What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. It was a stick that he whittled on, probably about that big, and whittled on it, smoothed it off a little bit, where he could climb up them rocks and use it to guide him, keep him from falling. And the Lord said, throw that thing on the ground. When he threw it on the ground, it turned into a serpent. He said, now pick it up. When he picked it up, it became a staff again. He took that staff to the most powerful nation in the world at that time, which was Egypt. And he used that staff to lead the people out. He got to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army were close behind, wanted to kill all of them. And Moses, yes, Lord, take that staff and stretch it over the water. And the waters divided, and the Israel people passed over on dry ground, and they were saved. And that was a new beginning in their life, a new beginning. There were many new beginnings in their lives, in my life, in my wife Millie's life. Over and over again, there have been new beginnings. We're really kind of at a new beginning here. How many of you sense that? At some time, I want you to know, if you're in a broken place, if you're in an abused place, if you're in a used and hurting place, that this is the beginning. This is a new beginning for you tonight. This is a new beginning. This is a new beginning message. Amen? So he used what he had. The gifts and callings that are on your life, they were put there before you came forth, while you were in your mother's womb, and before that, the gifts of callings of God are in your life already. And some of you stood up and prayed with me. You said, I want to know about my gifts and callings, because you deserve to be happy. You know, when you can see that you can help somebody else, there's nothing better than that. It has been my joy to raise 3 children that were not my own and incorporate them in my family. By the way, I heard from your sister today. And she's doing good, and we're going to get together with her. Maybe you can get together with us, okay? But those things are already in you. And you don't have to go to school. You don't have to graduate a program. You don't have to go online to start using them. But there are things I believe and declare. You're going to see your gifts and callings. I picked great deacons They were the best. They are the best. And deacons are servers, and they're God-called servers. They get joy. Yesterday, I asked Ernie if he would fix something for me. And I didn't ask him to try to get something for nothing. I was determined I was going to pay him. I did it because he would do it with two things. He would do it in the spirit of excellence. He has a gift for working with his hands, and he would do it with love. And as we sat down with Ernie and Mary last night at church for a little while, we just shared our love for each other. And you have gifts on your life. I'm not kidding. Every one of you. You have callings. You have gifts. There's something that you're better at. I'm going to tell you. My daughter Shelley was one of the ones when Millie took a fall here in March of last year. She was one that just joyfully helped her second mom, Nana, and just came and helped her, took her to some of her therapy, physical therapy. My daughter Kelly's the same way. She took time out of her busy schedule. My neighbor Mary back there did the same. You know, they each had the gift to make somebody feel better. And you know, Shelley, I don't think there's a better gift. You have that gift. All right. Next verse I want to read is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11 in the King James translation. And once again, here's what the word says, and this is talking about the nine spiritual gifts that are spoken of in the Bible, and here's what they are. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Is there a little more in there, Jeremy, if you could? To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of those tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these, distributing each one individually as he wills. You have gifts of the Spirit in you, each and every one of you do. Some of them have one or two, some of them have four or five. Okay? And they're for serving others. One of the principal foundations under this new ministry that was set up a few years ago is that you were saved to serve. How many of you have heard that since you've been here? I got one better than that. If you will serve, you will be happy. You will be much happier. So let's go now to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 in the NLT. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Not doing certain things, but doing them well, very well, perhaps better than others. There are things that you can do that others cannot do as well as you, as good as you. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be an encourager. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, then take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I have been praying lately as the Lord has directed me for my own life. Angelo, out of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You know, I've founded this ministry And I was attacked on every side, and it made me one up everybody. I faced everybody down that wanted to destroy this ministry. But what I ended up was a false sense of things. And what I ended up with is there are things I could have done in a kinder way. This is me. This is my life. See, James 5 says, confess your faults. Confess your faults to each other so that you can be healed. And I'm telling you, I see where I could have been kinder. And I'm working toward that happily, happily. And I want to say to this audience tonight, there's somebody in here that I've hurt you, including my two daughters. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And I'll just leave that at that. The word says this here. One thing that every believer can do in Mark chapter 16, that these signs shall follow them that believe. And the first one is what? In my name, they shall cast out devils. I've cast them out, thrown them out, got rid of them any way I could. People that tried to hurt this church. Molesters that came in here trying to use this church. Users, people that was wanting the milk of every kind. And you have gifts. And your gifts are to benefit first your church family, your church leaders, your best friends, brothers and sisters in this church. So can we have the rest of, was that? No, that was it. And the last place I want to go tonight, and then we're going to take communion. May I say to you, what I just asked you for was forgiveness. I mean that sincerely. And if you need to take me aside, recently I had somebody earlier about 6 months ago that I had left this church in a bad way. It was a bad breakup of many kinds. And I met them out on the, I just met them. It was a divine appointment. The Lord said, son, when you get to them, I was helping them with something. He said, ask that person if you've done anything to them to hurt them. And I asked that to this person. They said, yes. Yes, she did. And I said, well, please tell me what it was. And I let them talk as long as they wanted about what I did. And I said, I agree with you. I did that. And it was wrong. It was wrong. Will you forgive me? And that person broke. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me knocking and opens up, I will come into them. That's for right now. And she forgave me. She said, Pastor, she knew some things. Is there anything that I've done that I need to repent to you for? And I looked her in the eye. And I said, not a thing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. How many of you realize you might need mercy sometime soon? I need it every day. I really do. I'm an old warrior that's been too hard. I took things too, and it's made me to be unkind at times. And I couldn't be more sincere when I tell you, if I've hurt you, forgive me. Just forgive me. Because you're a jerk too. No. Last place tonight, for the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. They can't be. Satan can't take them away from your life. But what he can do is make you feel so bad by abusing you and hurting you and leading you into traps and having people that are not Christians hurt you and just use you and leave you battered and bruised. But that doesn't mean them gifts are not there. And if you, and tonight, in closing, I want to say this here. If you feel like you've been hurt in the manner that I described in this message, And you're not afraid or ashamed to say it because you want the healing. I'm asking you to come up here. Millie, come up here with me. If anybody comes, we're going to pray healing on your life. If nobody comes, it's okay. If you want to be healed of hurts, if you've been left